The people all over this world who are reaching out to Jesus, Jesus is reaching out to them. And no matter what nationality you're from, no matter what, whether you're male or female, no matter who you are, you need to be close to Jesus, because without him, you will fail miserably. You heard it here. I failed miserably without Jesus. And to have a closer walk with Jesus is the most important thing. And in these last few weeks, I'm sharing that. I don't want to go through everything that I've shared. I've talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit the other week, and then sort of how to have a quiet time. But today is really all about trust, where you learn trust with your walk with God, and you pray and you see, you have testimony over the decades, over the years, of how he has helped you. And really, it's where you mature. Proverbs 3, 1 to 12 says this: "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled and plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, don't despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves, and as a father, the son in whom he delights." Lord, we thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, that every person here today, no matter how close to you, how far away, no matter how happy, how low they may feel, that something will come out of this that will lift them and bring them closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. When we read this, we see quite obviously that the Bible and the writers of the Bible, which ultimately is the Holy Spirit, is saying that in our lives, we need to trust in God for everything. We need to trust in God for every single little thing. And trusting in God, of course, is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. The reason why people give their hearts to Jesus, be baptized, repent and follow him, is because the Bible says that we need Jesus Christ in our lives. And that without him, we go to hell. Without him, we go to an eternal hell. Simple as that. There's not two options of how to live the Christian, how to live life. You know, I could, when I was young, when I was a teenager, I became a Christian when I was 19. And before that point, I thought, you know, I could, you know, I'll go to college and study this and do this and maybe try this and see what happens. But to me, it all fell apart. And God brought me into the path of Christians who showed me from the Bible the true way. We don't just pray and cry out to God when things go wrong, and my goodness, don't we do that quite often? But we do it because, not because we want the prayer, but want the answer to the prayer, but the process of praying itself is the end goal. See, if I'm praying for years and years for God to heal my leg, God places more value in the prayer itself than the healing. And the healing is important. And we don't always know why God heals sometimes and doesn't. And, you know, there's all kinds of reasons. But the point is that God wants us to come close and to discover him in a relationship of trust. And Jaden today, who behaved very, very well, bless him, the greatest discovery he will make in his life is that when he discovers Jesus Christ for himself and knows for himself that Jesus is real, when he follows him and has that relationship with him. Now, in his lifetime, should the Lord choose not to come back in the next 100 years, they could quite often be going into commercial trips into space in 30 or 40 years' time. That's possible. He could see all kinds of changes. Goodness knows what political scene we'll have then. But the point is, the greatest discovery he will make is that Jesus Christ is real. God is reaching out to him. God wants him to repent and turn and know him, have an assurance of his salvation, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and be functioning as God leads him. And that is the greatest thing that he can do. Just a few more points of scripture, and then I've got a few points to share towards the end as well. Philippians 4, verses, I think it's 1 onwards to about 9. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I treat Yudi and Syntyche to agree with the Lord. Yes, I ask you, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Don't you want your name to be in the book of life? Isn't that incredible? I mean, I'm a Christian, I believe it is, but just knowing that you know that it, knowing that it's there, you know, it's incredible. We've only got one shot at this life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, whatever is true, honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I don't know about you, but I think that when somebody who followed the Lord Jesus at fever pitch, saw him personally at the beginning of his life, it's obviously Paul, in terms of a vision, and had the most incredible experiences that he had, who is probably one of the most famous Christians of all time, puts this instruction down. I don't know about you, but I want to try and follow it myself. I just more and more, as I get older, I realize the urgency. I'm only 52, but the urgency. I mean, there are some things I can't do anymore, just little things. But I just, you know, it's little things. But the point is, I'm realizing that I will get towards the end at some point. And I've got to get it right that this Christian walk where I say to the Lord, say to the world, look, I am a Christian. I am not ashamed of Jesus. I have been baptized. I love him with all my heart. I am not perfect, but I want to stand up for his principles and stand up for what is in the Bible. The Bible quite clearly talks about this relationship with God whereby we live in trust. Some of you here today, right now, are thinking among yourself about all kinds of things. Finance, bereavement, medical issues, relationships, depression, temptation, work issues, all kinds of things. It's there. And you need Jesus this week to help you through those things. You can try and sort it out yourself. And sometimes by God's pure grace and mercy and forgiveness, he kind of guides you through that as well. But I would say the best thing to do is say, God, I'm coming before you today. I don't know what's going to happen this day, but I give this to you and I trust you. A television program preceding the 1988 Winter Olympics featured blind skiers being trained for slalom skiing. Impossible. As that sounds, but paired together with sighted skiers, the blind skiers were taught on the flats how to make right and left turns. When that was mastered, they were taken to the slalom slope where their sighted partners skied beside them, shouting left and right as they obeyed the commands. They were able to negotiate the course and cross the line, depending solely on the sighted skier's word. It was either complete trust or catastrophe. What a picture of our walk with Jesus Christ, that in our lives, what a picture that when we discover that personally ourselves and we see him working. The greatest thing that any one of you will ever have, I believe, one of the greatest things is your personal testimony with Jesus, where you can look back and say, do you know what? At such and such a point, I came together with God in prayer. I read my Bible. I didn't feel any closer to him than I've ever done. I felt a complete failure. But I opened my Bible on that day, and I read it, and I prayed, and something happened. The Holy Spirit came into the room. Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not like those super Christians at church. I'm not good at this Christian thing. But I opened my Bible, and I prayed, and God gave me strength to go to school, college, or the office that day. And something amazing happened. And I thought, wow, that happened that day. So therefore, the following day, I did this. And by the end of the week, God chose ordinary me to witness to people at church. But it's normally the super Christians at church that do that, to witness to people in the community, I mean. And you have this testimony where God has worked in your life and given you the strength to do what he's calling you to do. Just another scripture, Exodus 14:9-21. This is how God led the people in the Old Testament. And it's a picture of how God, A, leads the church, and B, leads the individual Christian, even though this is an event that happened. Exodus 14:19-20. The angel of the Lord, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was cloud and darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back, a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea and dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So hang on, the ancient God's people years ago, the ancient Israelites, had this same issue whereby they had a week of hell facing them. I mean, you know, God, you've told us to come out of Egypt, and we're going towards this amazing promised land place thing that we most of us don't know about, but Moses seems to know about. But we're being led by this pillar of fire and this pillar of cloud that are taking us somewhere. But they're taking us towards the sea. How can they take us towards the sea? We're going to drown. We are going to drown. We can't get across there. Maybe some of us can swim a little bit. The majority of us are going to drown. You're taking us that way, that far. Do any of you realize sometimes, you'll think this, that you're thinking, God, where are you taking me? We've prayed for A, B, and C to happen in my family or my work or my money, and yet X, Y, and Z is happening. God, what are you doing? And then the pillar of fire and cloud takes them towards the Red Sea, and yet right at the last minute, bang, the waters open. God has his thing. And later, many years to come, those people have said, God did this in my life. Therefore, I trust him. And I know that God calls us to trust him blindly anyway, but I have a testimony in my life of this and that and this and that. And you have a problem in your life, this is what God did to me. And look at what God can do. Philippians 2, 22 to 24 says, but you know Timothy's proven worth. How as a son with a father he served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Timothy was somebody who worked with Paul, who came from being, I don't like the word rubbish Christian, but somebody who didn't live the Christian life as we would expect it, to be somebody who totally trusted in God and became a powerful leader himself. And God can do that through any man or woman, any person who comes into God's presence. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that we trust instead of God, well, that we can trust occasionally. One thing that we can trust is chance, okay? Where I come from, it's called chance. Down here, it's called chance. Guernsey, it's called chance, I think. I don't know why they call it that, but different accents. But chance, we trust in chance sometimes. We think, well, okay, let's just see what happens. Let's just see if it will work out. I worked with a guy in an office 15 years ago, and I'd regularly talk to him about my faith. And I said, what will happen when your life ends? And it will end. What will happen? What will be the next thing? He says, I hope I go to heaven. I said, why do you want to go to heaven? I said, God's there. Jesus is there. People will be worshipping God. You can do that here on a Sunday. You don't do that. I was really sort of really going for it. And he says, well, I don't know. Is it possible to know? And of course, hopefully you'll know what the answer was I gave him. We can trust our future to chance. We can trust and hope that we go to heaven, but we don't really know Jesus, and we've never been to church. And people at that church were a little bit. They seemed very, very holy. I hope that everything will work out okay for me this year. I really hope that 2020 will be okay, and that I won't have anything bad happen in my life, and that I'll have enough money to go on holiday maybe and to pay off these bills. And I just really hope that I won't give in to that temptation. I really hope that this happens in my family or my work or my job. I really, really hope. Trusting in chance doesn't take you to where God wants you to be. Sometimes we can trust ourselves. Totally can trust ourselves. When David Manning was in seriously ill in hospital in Winchester in 2012, we were in a position at the time whereby we literally desperately had to have extra musicians, and we were right down to a very basic few. I think only one other at that time. I couldn't remember anything else. It came down to such a low common denominator that I had to lead worship some nights myself with a guitar, and it was sort of Graham Kendrick or Graham Kendrick at the time, or Songs of Fellowship Book 2. But the point is, I used to get up each time thinking, well, And the mistake I made was I didn't pray before I led. And I'd get up there and I'd do it and I'd just rubbish at bar chords. And so I'd try and pick the easiest music and play it. And there were times where it just fell apart. And in the end of the service, when I say, let's pray for David Manning, they'd say, oh, yes, let's just pray for David Manning, please. Let's get him back. on Sunday nights, Lord, bring him back. And the thing is, God healed him, brought him out of, he almost had, it was coming towards multiple organ failure, but God healed him. But he came out. But the point was, I didn't really trust in God because I thought, well, I can grab my guitar. I've done a little bit of praise and worship in the Philippines on trips, but it was just basic stuff. But I didn't rely on God. And if you want to rely on God, if you don't want to rely on God, if you just rely on yourself. See, I pray before every day. I pray before, if I get in a long car journey or a long plane journey or something like that, I always give it to God and say, God, just protect us. And I believe God does send angels with you. When I drove from Derby to Guernsey in 1994 with a Vauxhall Chevette, which was just a death trap, most of the way down, there was a car coming behind me with the lights on. And I thought, that's really weird. And I wonder if that was an angel, but it was an illustration of how God was protecting me. We can trust in other people. See, Paul, Timothy, and everybody trusted in Jesus, and Jesus was gone. And we can trust in all types of people. I have a friend of mine who lost her mother recently. Her mother was in her 80s and she's gone. She said, I don't know how I can carry on without her. She's been in this world all my life and she's gone. It feels horrible. And how do you respond to somebody who's going through that, even though many of us have? But they probably felt like that when Jesus went. But we can trust in others. But when those people are gone, who do we trust in? We can trust them, respect them, and have people in leadership and family members and brothers and sisters who we respect. But when they're not there, I'd relied on people in my lives. And I've got to say this, that it's a little bit soppy, but having known Jackie now for 27 years, when she came into my life for many, many years, I mean, she's still, I mean, you're going to throw up, but she's my best friend. You know, she's absolutely my best friend. And she's been in so many ways a rock for me in the early days when my parents died and stuff. And you know, I don't rely on her. I don't rely on, because, you know, she might not always be here. My friends may not always be here. Colleagues I have, but so I need to trust in Jesus completely, 100%. There are people in this world who trust in the devil. They trust in evil stuff, horoscopes, stuff that doesn't work, stuff that gives them a kick, and trust in it. And think, that made me happy last weekend, that made me happy last year, therefore I'll trust in it, and it'll be fine, and it'll be okay. And it's like Anton LaVey, and I'm aware of the age range in here, but Anton LaVey, who was the leader of the Church of Satan, I don't know when it was, but he died, whenever he died, I think it was in the 60s when he died, or a bit more recent, but right at the last minute, he'd given his life to the devil, and right at the very last minute in hospital, he had a vision of angels and of the glory of heaven, and he just said, oh, something's wrong, and died. And people say that he had, right at the very last minute, he realized the mistake he'd made. But the Bible tells us to put our trust in God, to put our trust in Jesus. Absolutely, 100%. And I want to say that you can do that. You can trust in Jesus now to face whatever it is you're going through. And when I shared the first in these series of sermons was about how recently, just spending time with God, reading the Bible, something had come back into my quiet time. And where your quiet time, your personal history with God, your personal history with God, allowing that to be the backbone of your life. And when you see God, when you see Jesus answer prayers, speak to you, reveal himself to you, and just open up everything to you, it's incredible. When you see God turn situations around, it's amazing. I want to share one illustration now before we go to a time of worship and then communion. I'm not going to preach long today, but I'm going to do this and I'm going to sum up in a moment. It's gospel. But I have shared with you that many ministers in Romsey have an opportunity to pray for the town council. And it's a tremendous privilege. And I won't go into details, but because of the new political setup in the Romsey Town Council, a decision was taken a year ago that they were no longer going to have church members going in praying because they didn't want any of that. So we thought, okay, that's fine. So we wrote a quiet letter in. And they decided in the end that they would let us in because of the links with the Christian churches have had with the town council traditionally. But those members of the council who didn't want to stay in for prayers could walk out. So the vicar of the abbey did his, and he came and spoke to me. And said, oh, I did it. A few of them walked out. I thought, okay, God, give me grace. Give me grace, understanding. And so there was one particular council member. We'll call him Council Member A, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. Wasn't the mayor. I was walking in the council chamber with him beforehand. He was telling me about general elections. Oh yes, nice. You follow this party? Well, okay, I'm from Elim Church, Romsey. We've come to. Oh, well, thank you. And the mayor, at the beginning, says, right, okay, we're about to have prayers. David Walker from Elim Church, Romsey. Those who want to walk out for this, and three walked out, and he was one of them. He walked out, and then I finished my prayer, and then they came back afterwards. And I thought, I don't understand that, but I respect it. You can give it better or bitter. I thought, how can I bring you on this? So I left it. I was gonna send an email and also I was gonna do this and do that, but it just made it worse for everybody. So I came out, spoke to a Christian counselor a few days later. So I'm really sorry about that, but they did. I said, it's fine, it's not your fault. I went away, I thought, I'm gonna pray for this man and pray that God blesses him and pray. And if I ever see him in public, I'll just talk to him about something else. And I'll forgive him for doing that. I mean, they crucified Jesus, he forgave them. Come on, Dave Walker, get a life, you know. And so basically what happened was, that was it. So we do the carnival, right? We do the carnival, and yesterday we had the carnival. We're down there at Crossfield Hall, and we have this tremendous stable, which was built by Phil and by Paul Johnson. And everyone's there in the costumes. And we have the banner. We're carrying that banner at the front. And we're walking down. But before we start the carnival, the committee and the mayor walks around and they judge each entry and they looked at ours, and Grace was there with the brownies. Yours was brilliant. I don't see why you didn't win. It was brilliant.
Did you?
Wow, so we had the overall one. That's brilliant. Brilliant, I'm not surprised. That's great. So what happened was we were there, and they kind of looked at us, and I thought, I can't believe we're going to get anything in this. And they came out and said, you've won. I thought, wow. Then the next thing was incredible, because we were going round. You cannot make this up. This is how God moves when you bring grace in and when you trust in Jesus. We were then going round. We were going round with Prezzo and coming down the 100, and at the front there was the band, the fire engines, Carnival Queen, and us. And we're going down there, and there's the mayor and everything else, and this particular councillor who walked out, who's the atheist, standing there like a bulldog chewing a wasp as we come down with Elim Church Romsey, you know, looking at us. And Janet Burnage, the mayor of Romsey, because the other one was the mayor of Test Valley, was saying, and now we have, isn't it great, we've got Elim Church Romsey coming down. They won the overall category. All these people looking at us and clapping. And at the same time, you know, And you're at the front, Deborah's at the front, you know, here we call, wonderful, counsellor, mighty God. And I can see this counsel in the beginning, I'm thinking, God, you've turned this around. How does God do that? I think it is not always easy to totally trust in God and to forgive. And trust me now, I'm not saying jump into blind forgiving somebody, because sometimes you need help to do that. But when you bring any situation, any pile of baggage before God and say, you sort it out, he will do something. That testimony will bless somebody else. So just briefly today, I want to remind you, you could trust in chance, you could trust in ourselves, trust in others, trust in evil stuff. But I think the best thing you could do is to trust in God. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Not only did he die to provide eternal life in the future, he died to provide it now. Actually, the reason you were born was to have a relationship with him. And your personal trust, your personal time with him, where you go to him and you give him the stuff in the middle of your day, at college, at school, when you're out with your friends, when you're in an office, when you're in a hospital bed, you walk out, he will be there with you. He will come right down into your valley and speak to you. And you will have this year, next year, the year after, right through the next decade, you will have testimony with him, testimony with him, testimony with him all the time, whereby you can go to other people and say, this is what happened. God has proved himself to me. God has proved himself in this situation and in every other situation. I want to finish off with this Psalm 139, 1 to 18, and then we will go into a time of communion. I want to just read it out. Psalm 139, 1 to 18, and then we'll pray. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. That's one of many proofs from the Bible that God does know the future. So God does know the future, and that's one of many texts that prove that. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake, I am still with you. That applies to every single one of you. Every one of you. God knows about that stuff that's going on. He knows about that issue in your family, your work, your job, or anything else. He's with you. Bring your worries to him. And I've got a real sense in my spirit that God might be saying to somebody today that he wants to shine light into a dark situation in your life. And if that's you, then God's just simply saying you don't need to have fear or worry or darkness in there. God wants you to go into a situation of light. He wants that fear to go. That's you. Pray about it. Maybe come back and see me in a week or afterwards.